Okay, it is 6 o'clock and we'll call our council meeting to order and welcome everyone this evening. Our first item of business is the approval of the agenda of June 10th, 2026. And we have had one addition requested from Councillor Richardson and we'll put it under 8B, Trails, the Roseway River Trail and Jordan Trail. Are there any other items to be included on the agenda? Councillor Thorburn Irvine?
On acceptance of the minutes, I was just going to note a correction.
Okay,
there.
So we'll do our agenda first and then we'll okay. Move on to that item.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other items to include on the agenda? If not, if we can have a motion to approve the agenda as amended, please.
I'll move it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Okay, moving on to acceptance of the minutes of May 27th, 2026. Are there any changes required to those minutes? And I believe Councillor Thorburn Irvine, you had an item.
Thank you. Could we note that I was absent for that council meeting. I had a health issue that came up and couldn't attend. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further? If not, we can accept the minutes as amended. Moving on to business arising from the minutes. Anything to come before council this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to presentations. We have one this evening. Mike Kahn, Director of Planning and Development for the Town of Shelburne, will be presenting this evening regarding the bulk water fill station proposal. Welcome. And we will do a round of introductions because I'm not sure, Mr. Kahn, if you know everyone around the council table.
Certainly.
So I'm Penny Smith. I'm the warden for the municipality of Shelburne and councillor for District 2. And that covers the communities from Roseway through to Reeds Hill. And I'll move to my far left, please.
Dale Richardson for District 7, which takes from county line through the communities right through into Lockport Corner. Ron Cool, I'm in District 6 from Lockport Corner, basically all West Head, all the way into East Jordan, including East Jordan.
Hi, Mike. So my name is Sherry Thorburn Irvine. I'm the District 3 counselor for Sandy Point. That's town line to approximately, I think the civic is 2272.
Heidi Wagner, Deputy Warden, District 5. I do Lower Sandy Point right to East Jordan Falls.
Good evening. Paula Sutherland, District 1, Beaver Dam to Red Head Road.
Angie Sheehan for District 4, which is Welshtown, Ohio, along the highway to Woodlawn Drive and through that area.
Nicole Blades, Executive Assistant.
Thank you very much. And we do have staff that have joined us virtually this evening as well. So welcome. And the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good evening, Council. I'm here this evening to talk about a potential bulk fill station for the Shelburne area. On the next slide, we can see there is an example of the bulk fill station in Yarmouth. Some of the things to note in that picture are the gravel along the edge of the paved surfaces to allow for drainage, the concrete pad that the unit is sitting on, the posts around it to protect it from vehicles backing into it, as well as a drainage as well around the concrete pad itself. And you'll notice there's hose 1 and hose 2, so there is the ability to bring in other sizes as well. So the overhead arm there is a 2-inch line that would be used to fill water cubes and water trucks. That other hose 1 location could be used for sort of a jug fill type arrangement. The current ones that the town is looking at won't include a jug fill, but could easily be retrofitted like the picture shows there to include a jug fill. On the next slide, we can see the sort of overall sketch and just sort of how much space it takes up. It takes up approximately 55 meters by 30 meters or 180 feet by 100 feet. So that's kind of the footprint we would be looking at. One of the key pieces from looking at other areas is good traffic flow, because you're going to have a number of people most likely with trailers. You want to make sure that the traffic can flow around the station quite easily. Otherwise, you're going to wind up with traffic circles. So we're looking at different locations in town, but on the next slide is sort of our first blush at where we would think it would go. near the community center, but not adjacent to the community center. Going back to those sort of traffic concerns, the concern is that it would clog the community center if there were people there or if the fire trucks needed to get out. We wouldn't, of course, want people with water trailers blocking the way. So that's one of the potential locations. We are going to be looking at public engagement on other locations. Another location that was considered was by the Shelburne Wastewater Treatment Plant. There's space there and a water main there. Next up, we have the cost of the bulk fill station. So the actual sort of box itself is $87,000, and then it's another $90,000 to prepare the site around it. There's a contingency on the civil work, so the paving, the concrete, and whatnot. And there's also a note on the first 2 years of operations. Because the bulk fill station has some additional costs related to it directly, the water utility can't charge back for it. So that would be a loss to the water utility if we didn't cover off that $4,800. That brings us to just shy of $200,000 for the bulk fill station. On the next slide, it talks about how we're considering funding it. We've already taken a look at the Green Municipal Fund Rapid Adaptation, and unfortunately, we do not qualify. We don't qualify as the federal government requires us to give the water away, but the provincial government requires us to charge for the water, so we are not able to access that grant. We are looking at the Sustainable Communities Challenge Fund, SCCF, which would fund Scenario 1, $159,800, and would leave both municipalities to fund $20,000 themselves. The second scenario has been allocated by the town of Shelburne, $62,500. That would enable a potential for a lower grant, like a GMF grant, or potentially for a surcharge. So potentially there could be, say, a dollar or two a cube added, a surcharge, and that would fund the actual station itself. However, that approach requires UARB approval. So it would not be very timely to go down that route to do the surcharge route. There's also the risk that it would discourage people from using it if the charge was too high. And that, I believe, is it for the presentation. I'm happy to take questions.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Got a couple of mics lit up here, so we'll start with Councillor Richardson.
So this is a bulk water station?
Yes.
So would it only, I guess my main question would be, is there any opportunity for citizens or people with 1 gallon, 2 gallon, 5 gallon jugs to fill?
So as it's proposed right now, that wouldn't be possible. Part of the reason behind that is the UARB requires us to charge for the water, and the minimum charge is $50. So even if someone came forward with a 4-liter jug, we would have to charge them $50. We're looking into getting our water rate study. The town has to go forward for a water rate study within the next 2 years anyways, and so we would get that updated. Town of Yarmouth, for their part, did get that updated so that they could now not have to charge that. Their minimum charge is now $5, not $50. Part of the rationale as to why that $50 minimum charge is there is, as originally envisioned, a bulk fill would require a staff person to actually show up and physically meter the water. So that's why that is there. So if someone had asked for 4 liters to be metered by a person, it would have cost $50. It's unfortunate that's the way it is, but we are looking at addressing that.
It's unfortunate because I'm supposing that we've heard a lot of interest from the public at large for those individual water deliveries or pickups. So. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cool. That's okay. Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
So thank you, Mike. I guess, you know, we're really looking at ultimately being able to deliver water in the reality of our drought scenarios going forward. And we recently had a presentation on desalination. And so there's a cost to both of those. Has the town considered the desalination option at all?
No, the town has access to a plentiful water supply at Lake Rodney.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't have any other questions at this point.
Thank you. CAO.
Thank you, Warden, and thank you, Mike, for your presentation. Much appreciated. Mike, do you envisage any circumstances whereby you would restrict customers from getting water from that bulk fill station?
It's a good question. Most likely not. The UARB rules on how we can restrict access to water and things like that. The only scenario I would see would be a corporate customer who hadn't paid.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. I've got a couple, but I'm going to go to my far right now. Councillor Shand, I think you have a question or a comment.
I have three questions, actually.
First one being, who would service the system and complete water testing on the regular basis? Mm-hmm. Who would be responsible for that?
The town of Shelburne's water utility would be. So we have a water operator who would be responsible for the bulk fill station. It does also effectively clean itself. So after each use, it releases a little bit through and then a little bit more water. So that each time every person comes up, the receptacle is still clean.
So would there be any cost that would be asked for the municipality to participate in paying for any of that? No?
No, the UARB through their rate study would come out with the rate is this amount, and that amount covers absolutely everything.
And how long would it take to build something like this?
A couple of months.
So something like if everybody were into agreements to make it, it would be not something we'd see this summer type thing. It would be.
The grant we're looking at, the SCCF, the preliminary application closes at the end of this month. Final application closes at the end of July, but decisions aren't until November. Okay. So November, we would hope to get a shovel in the ground if we were successful before the snow flies and go from there.
So once the original cost that you had spoke of, mm-hmm. then there is no additional cost after that. So if something were to break in the system or something went wrong, how is the fees to cover that divvied up, or whose responsibility is that?
It's a water utility. The water utility will ultimately own the assets. So currently the town's water rate is $8.32 per cubic meter, and that covers everything from the cost of the chemicals to the cost of maintenance of equipment. When we go forward for our next rate study, that rate will most likely go up and would cover the eventuality sort of that you're speaking of. There's a generic water depreciation, which the town collects, which is for all other sort of eventualities, sort of like what you're alluding to. So that would be cover off that cost. It would not be an additional cost. The whole idea behind the water utility is it is self-financing once it is set up.
So we're just asked looking for the initial cost to set it up from the municipality.
Yes.
And that would be the end on our portion of what would be required.
Correct.
So the capital cost.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy Warden?
And that's kind of the question I had. It showed that the first 2 years of operations, you've got $4,800. After those 2 years, if something goes wrong, you're expecting that the monies that come in from the collection of the sale of water, basically,
exactly.
to cover any kind of operation maintenance that's needed.
Exactly. So the $8.32, part of that would go to actually treating the water that gets pumped out of the station, but part of it would be for the maintenance of the station itself.
Thanks.
Okay, I'll come back to myself now. And Councillor Shand actually asked the question that I had regarding moving forward. Knowing that if we were going to participate in the operations or the capital cost, what was the expectation for operations moving forward? So happy to hear your response on that. And so it's just less than an acre of property then that's required for this system?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And let's see. Yeah. I think everything else has been taken care of. I do see the CAO has his hand up, and I believe that's for another additional question or comment.
Yes, thank you very much, Warden. Mike, the bulk water station in Yarmouth, do they charge a minimum $50 for a fill-up?
The town of Yarmouth went forward with their rate study, and their minimum fee is now $5.
It's $5. So is there any way with the MSRIB to have that fee reduced, like from $50 to something less? Because that's like a heavy upfront fee.
It absolutely is. The town needs to come forward with our sort of holistic plan of here's our water fee overall. We're almost at that point. It's within the next 2 years. By April 1st of 2029, the town must have updated its water study because it's been 10 years since the last time we did it. That would be when we would bring that forward. The two-year operations, that's to bridge us to that point where we could get in front of the UARB. So there is the potential to do, because town of Yarmouth had done an interim request, so we could look into that, but there's no guarantee. And it's still a timely piece. I would worry that the UARB would ask us to just roll it into our major study, our main study.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Cool, and then Councillor Shand.
I have a question, but I don't know how to word it. I noticed there's the initial 20 or 62,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, eventually, this will probably make money.
No, it won't. But part of the reason behind the UARB is to make sure that the town doesn't make money off of it. It's okay. To make sure that it covers costs and nothing more. Mm-hmm. One of the interesting ones coming out from researching this, looking at town of Yarmouth, is they, as I understand it, got in a little bit of trouble because they were giving water to themselves. Only the water utility gets free water. Nobody else does. Just to give an idea.
From the point of view, is it, we invest into it,
mm-hmm.
would we get something out of it also? So, okay.
Yes, exactly. Councillor Shand.
Bulk water, just so that I'm understanding correctly, meaning like one of those big cubic things that you build for horses and like go that size of, of an item is what we mean by bulk?
Yes.
So not usable for the average resident whose well is just running dry. They could be someone who needs to have a large.
A large truck, or there might be hauling services as well. Companies may choose to fill up at the bulk fill station and then haul it to people's wells as well.
Yeah, I think, Mike, one of your statements in your staff report was exactly that, about the potential for, I guess, like a small business or something like that for someone locally to be able to provide that service.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Councillor Thorburn Irvine?
It's obvious, I think, but each fill-up, each time that you present, is a $50 charge.
Right now, yes, under okay. the current regulations.
Right, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? A very interesting, I think, project for the municipality to consider. So thank you very much for coming this evening and presenting and answering all of the questions that we had for you.
Not at all.
All right. We'll be back in touch. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on now to 6, Protective Services, REMO Bylaw, second reading. And I see Ms. Bell has joined us. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Warden. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. So as my staff report was submitted there, this is the second reading of the bylaw. In the background, of course, the revision suggested by the province, recommendations for changes. This is the second and final reading, so we can pass bylaw E300. Just a note, there were no changes to the budget and there were no submissions from the public regarding this bylaw.
Okay, thank you for that. There thank is you. A prepared motion. If someone would like to make that, please. Councillor Richardson.
Be it resolved that Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne as recommended by REMO, give second and final reading to the revised bylaw E300.
Thank you. There a seconder, please?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? I think it's pretty straightforward. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Thank you very much for that. We'll move on now to operations. We have the monthly building report for May 2026. Again, always nice to see a new dwelling on the report. And we're at just over $3 million in total construction to date. Any questions or comments on the monthly building report? Hearing none, we will move on to administration. 8A, proposed Sandy Point Wilderness Area discussion, and that's our CAO.
Thank you very much, Warden. The province have recently put out a directive, or not a directive, a list of 13 proposed wilderness areas around the province. One of those proposed wilderness areas is the Sandy Point Wilderness Area, which I think is something like 800 and some odd acres. And they've given, I think, until July 25th for feedback from interested parties. And one of the things I wanted to get from council was some feedback from council as to whether or not we want to provide feedback, and if we want to provide feedback, what would the nature of that feedback be? One of the issues I see with the proposal isn't the actual wilderness area itself. I don't see any complications in that proposed wilderness area, but what I did take exception to was that as a municipal government, we weren't consulted by Department of Natural Resources ahead of time, sort of saying, listen, we're thinking about doing this. How does it impact your you know, your municipal land strategy, that type of thing. And so the consultation part of it is something that I would like council maybe to talk about, and whether or not that's something we want to provide feedback on.
Thank you for that. I did notice it as a Facebook post as well, and I'm not sure if felt that there was a lot of information there to kind of guide us in this. So we do have Councillor Thorburn Irvine and then Councillor Shan, please.
Thank you. I did note that on the morning of the 28th, simply because I was posting something to my councillor Facebook page, and then you could see other political, you know, there's other things on that Facebook platform, I suppose. So it was in the early morning of the 28th that I noted it, and it's up until July the 28th. It is 880 hectares. And I did ask the Department of Environment because, you know, people were having questions. I basically, I even had an individual direct me to be responding as a counselor. And so what I did say, there may be people that have noted that. Respectfully, that is not my assignment as a counselor. That we encourage all citizens to participate and lend their voice. And so that's where I left that. But because I did inquire with the Department of Natural Resources, they told me that it was the Department of the Environment. So I think going forward as a municipal government, if there's any interaction, it'll likely be through the Department of the Environment that you'll want to go. And so there are citizens in the municipality, in our district, I suppose, and in our Councillor Wagner's district as well. You know, they'll be engaged and they'll do their assessments and, you know, give voice to it. I don't have much else to offer.
Okay, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I saw it, the first thing I did was send it through to the CAO. And I didn't reach out to Natural Resources or the Department of Environment, but kind of like, you know, what's our role here? Like, what should we be doing with this? So glad that you were able to offer that to the residents as well. Councillor Shand and then Councillor Richardson.
I guess my question is a little more exactly what does it mean? So mm-hmm. Is this designated land that cannot be used for anything because it's being held as a wilderness wildlife area? So it's owned currently by the government and is deemed this and can't be bought, sold, used for anything else?
Is
that
Councillor Thorburn?
So certainly feel free to check, but I did ask that as well. What level of protection was the provincial government looking to? And they told me it would be similar to it's the least of a footprint. It's very similar to the Toby Attic. So there would be people that could fish, hunt, be on existing roads, but and they did make a point of telling me as well that the thing that I think we should all be concerned about is that people aren't ATVing through the peat bogs, because the peat bogs are a carbon sink. And so the gentleman that I was speaking to said it doesn't matter if it's in a protected area or not, that's actually against the law. So the level of protection that the province is looking at currently is the least footprint, similar to the Toby Attic. And I think the premise for the province of Nova Scotia is 20% of their land mass. I think that's out there somewhere in that regard, yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. Councillor Richardson.
I have all kinds of questions and concerns. Far be it from me, but if I remember correctly, it's surrounded by a population that is housing, mixed resource and whatever. People are now permanently using a fair amount of it, period. And what comes to my mind when you talk about wilderness is wilderness. Mm-hmm. Wilderness doesn't come with a population of people. So, and one of the other problems I have with it is it dealing with some of the nature reserves and how they creep. It seems like you go in with one agenda and it shifts over time. But I really have major questions about that area that takes that, you might as well say, a fair gist of the peninsula in, and there's a population surrounding it. And as far as when it comes to animals, there's probably populations of deer, rabbits, and so on, but not anything, I don't think, that is out of the ordinary that would warrant anything over and above some area. And to my mind, I would rather see something in remote that you already have a limited human footprint and you prevent it getting worse, not where you already have human footprints in there all the time and you're going to try and limit them. That never goes well in these closed areas. Mm-hmm. And I can speak to that from experience.
Thank you for that. And I know the CEO has a question or perhaps comments on that, and I'll just add one other. I don't recall seeing presentations in the area on this. Maybe I've missed it, but I'm not sure. Yeah. But I'm thinking with something like that, that the province should be holding some sort of consultation, presentation, something for the community.
Right.
CAO, did you want to comment on that or perhaps something else?
Yeah, thank you, Warden. You're right. I'm not aware of any public consultation that was done with regard to this proposed site. The other thing which I think is probably worth noting at this council is that of the total acreage for the 13 sites around the province that are being proposed, mm-hmm. the Sandy Point is by far the largest. I think the total acreage of all 13 sites, I think something like 1,900 acres or something like that. This is 880 acres. The next biggest one is one near Halifax. Sorry, hectares, you're right, is I think 550. And then the rest are sort of like in the 50s, 100s, that type of thing. So it's, once the warden and I started talking about this, I went and went on the government websites and then started to do some estimations of exactly how much land do we have in our municipality that is dedicated to the various designations of protected land, wilderness areas, one of them, and then there's about three or four other designations. By my calculations, and I need to do some double checking on that, we have something like 51% of the land within our municipality has some form of environmental protection placed upon it, which is far greater than the provincial goal of 20%. So one of the considerations for council maybe to talk about right now is whether or not that is a point that we want to bring up with the province, and that you know, why is it that they've put such a large emphasis of the designations in the 13 zones on Shelburne? And, you know, given the fact that we've already got such a large designation within our municipality already.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, CEO. And I'm wondering at this point, before we get into all of that, whether we should be writing the province and asking for them to hold at least one public meeting consultation in Sandy Point, and so that the residents at least are aware of what this actually means and us as well before we provide comments or write anything without knowing exactly what it means, I guess. I have Councillor Thorburn Irvine. Oh, sorry, I had Deputy Warden first and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
I just have a comment about the feedback part of it. We should be directing our residents to send their feedback mm-hmm. to whichever party is, whether it's environment or it's yep. DNR. Yeah. I don't feel we should be taking the feedback from the residents. We need to direct them directly to yep. them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's what's taking place right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, yeah. 100%. And I have done that very thing, just so you know, Councillor Wagner. Absolutely, 100%. It is an opportunity for people to lend their voices to a process. Having said that, I think we do ourselves a disfavor without asking the province for exactly what you said, you know, to have all the information, because people, there's going to be a variety of emotions and we want the facts in order for people to be making a decision. And I would just, I feel I would be remiss because I know partially, there will be people that will be profoundly feeling like it's a protection of water, a water source, as it relates to the peninsula. And we know we've got, a savanna out there. It's some kind of protection, I feel, in terms of drought on that peninsula, having that there. So I think the province, I would strongly be in favor. I think it's an advocacy issue that we ask the province for more information, and then it's up to everybody to show up for it or not. And I just would also like to add, Councillor Richardson, what you said around the natural resources. When we're all taxed, because I know I'm there, we are taxed on, there's a resource sector that's part of our tax. I don't know if that taps into what you're saying. I don't know how that impacts. So ultimately, to have more information from the province, we don't ask to be treated any differently from the other 12 sites, but it is a large area. And I think our citizens would appreciate the opportunity to tap into additional information.
So do we have consensus to ask them to host a public consultation meeting session in the community so that the community and the municipality as a whole can learn more before responding? Yeah, it isn't for us to take the lead. It's for us to advocate for something like this is what I would suggest. Consensus to do that? Okay, wonderful. Councillor Richardson?
Just a parting, and why? If that is the reason to protect a watershed or whatever, then if that's stated, that's a whole different ballgame. But what they have put out that it's a wildlife reserve, what comes to mind, and just what I know personally, there's a large tract of land from the Nature Trust in Ohio. Mm-hmm. There's one in Little Harbor. There's one in Johnson's Pond. There's one in West Hitt.
Round Bay.
And they are not small tracts of land. We're talking 100 plus acres, most every one of those. And the other fact that I have a problem with is they seem to be cropping up, and not just Nature Trust, but these wilderness areas or whatever, with no overall plan. If you're going into a section, you shouldn't target Shelburne County necessarily or Yarmouth County, but if there was a provincial plan, then I would like to see it. And I'd like to understand that, because I don't think helter skelter, they're doing anybody any favors.
I think those are all excellent points. Thank you, Councillor Richardson. Councillor Sutherland?
We already have one of the largest, Bowers Meadows. Mm-hmm. It's one of the largest in Nova Scotia. And that's in Shelburne County.
Yeah.
And that grew exponentially from the time, the place of where they said they were going to start it.
Okay, so we know we have an action plan, I guess, moving forward, that we will ask the province to host a public consultation meeting regarding this matter with the residents or in the municipality in that area. Okay, thank you for that. We'll move on now to 8B, and this is an item for Councillor Richardson regarding trails, the Roseway River Trail and the Jordan Trail.
I had individuals inquire as to the Roseway River that our LOA be adjusted to be multi-use trail, and whether that has taken place or in the process.
Okay, I don't know, CAO, if you can answer that, but my understanding is we were waiting for the province to make a decision on a portion moving forward in that area as well, I believe.
Yeah, that's correct. Sorry, Adam isn't here. So, but yeah, we were waiting to find out what the status was of the other sections of the trail. But there are options when I'm thinking about the Roseway River Trail in terms of whether or not you keep it just for walking or whether or not it's multi-use. That really is a decision for council as to whether or not you want to do that. But I believe that Adam also had some ideas in terms of the fact that there are other alternatives in terms of the vehicles using actually the road rather than the trail. But I think Councillor, if you don't mind, because Adam isn't here, let me go back to Adam and ask him to put together an email to council for a more comprehensive view on the different options that are available to council. I believe that he did give a presentation on it before.
Yes, he did.
But I just can't remember the details of that presentation at the present time. Maybe yeah. What I can do is pull out that presentation from before and forward it to council.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, CEO. He did do a comprehensive staff report to council. I think it was last fall, I'm not sure. And he did provide different options regarding the trail. And I believe it was at that time that he mentioned about, and I believe that council at the time had said that we were going to wait to see what the decision of the province was before we decided which option we wanted to go with. Okay, and then the other is the trail.
Ideally, a good update on that. The concern was, otherwise, if they're on the road, it's illegal without going to the province and getting an allocation for that. So it's a matter of making it legal one way or another. But anyhow, I would be in favor of opening it. But that being said, the other question was the design of our bridge that we okayed for Jordan. My understanding is we okayed that architecture design, and they had made the ATV clubs make inquiries as to was there a pull off on that bridge, and to my knowledge there was none.
Yeah, I think we made that motion a couple of months ago about moving ahead. And I believe you're right, Councillor Richardson, I don't believe there was any discussion at all about a pull off. CAO, did you want to comment on that as well?
Councillor Richardson, are you talking about a pull off on the actual bridge itself? When you say a pull off, like
yes.
If you've got oncoming traffic, there's an area that they can pull aside so they can pass each other?
Yes.
No, it's not on the actual bridge itself, but I imagine because people would be able to see each other approaching the bridge on either end, that someone could stop and let the other person who's oncoming go across the bridge before they go across, because it is within eyesight.
Yeah, and I, if I'm not mistaken, that was never put forward or talked about. So I thought we had passed the design of that. So thank you.
Yeah, no, the contract has actually been signed. The kickoff meeting is actually going to be this week. So you, council will be getting an email from Adam with regard to the scheduling of the construction going forward, and there will also be public communications with regard to residents, so that residents are well aware of what's happening and the timing of the construction.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Thank you, Councillor Richardson. Deputy Warden.
And CAO, can we just make sure to relay to Adam that email go to the association as well? I know they're residents, but if the ATV Association has that information as well, that would be great, because I was approached as well from one of the members.
With regard to the bridge?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That will be forwarded to them for sure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Moving on to 9, committee reports and warden update. Do we have any committee reports to report on this evening?
Yes.
Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Thank you. If I could just go back to May the 27th, the day I couldn't attend council meeting. I did attend the day-long Western County Crown Land. It used to be called Stakeholder Group. And it was very interesting. At the beginning of that, there was an excellent day trip out into Crown Land, where there's been sections of land logged, and Westmore being one of the stakeholders. There is research with bringing in seed migration from other countries that are more drought tolerant, creating plots of land and seeing how that's going to fit as we continue to create forests that are more resilient given droughts and potential threat to wildfires. So it was an excellent day. So I would just add that we're going to want to change that group name, because David Foster, who I think he's part of the Strum Consulting Group, he had said he's decided to change the name of the group to the Western County Crownland Interaction Group. And he made the point, and it was this discussion around nuance of language, that our First Nations people, or Indigenous maybe is the term, the better term to use, they are not stakeholders, they are right holders. And so anyways, that was very good. We went on the field. It was just excellent. And I do have a couple YouTube video. No, I shouldn't say YouTube. I'm going to post them to YouTube. It's just excellent from the Medway Forestry Group and what they're doing on the hemlock woolly adelgid, which threatens all our hemlock. And the hemlock is a really important species, again, with drought tolerance. So that was that day. And then I actually dumped into anaphylaxis because I was hot and exhausted and I didn't have my EpiPen and I had Benadryl that I had to go get. And so I was whacked. That's why I didn't attend council. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So June the 4th, we had an audit, risk, and finance committee meeting for the Western County Regional Library Board. That was very good. Those audit and risk committees doing what they need to do. And then yesterday we had on July the 9th, we had our Eastern Shelburne County Equity and Anti-Racism Advisory Committee with Adam leading that as staff and then Jesse Dyer from the town. And we had some excellent public members that have stepped forward. And people are going to be thoughtful around who will chair and vice chair. That's similar to the Economic Growth Committee. So people are quite enthused about the voice that they'll be able to lend to process, to government process on that subject matter. Yeah. Thank you.
Stephanie. June the 3rd, we had an amalgamation meeting here at our council chambers, which I felt went very well. Chris McNeil put on a very good presentation. Those of council that wasn't here, you can catch it on, it was recorded. So you should actually listen to that. He did put on a very good presentation. Mm-hmm. On June the 4th, Roseway Manor, which we discussed the ongoing strike and was pleased to hear over the weekend that we had a tentative deal. A little laugh for everybody. I was at all three areas for the meeting that night. I came here, it wasn't here. I went to the town of Shelburne. It wasn't there, and it was in Lockport. So I was a little late arriving for that meeting that night. But we're pleased to hear that there is a tentative deal on the table right now, and it'll be great for the residents because they're the ones in the end that need that support and help. So,
and we're glad that you showed up in Lockport, Councillor Shand.
I attended my first Climate Action Committee meeting. They are starting their in-person sessions across the county to start the process of holding some community events to gather community members' input on erosion and climate change. So they're starting those. I think the 15th actually is the first one that they're doing. Attended the Shelburne County Arena meeting, which this is one of the first years they are not in a deficit. They actually turned a profit this year.
Excellent.
They budgeted $2,500 for what ice time would have been. That's what last year was. This year, it was $14,000 for the ice time rented. So the current management of the arena is doing an amazing job in getting those rentals out there. And a big thank you to all the volunteers that are working the canteen. And the bingos, they are making all the difference in keeping that place afloat. Also attended the Roseway Manor Board, which I showed up on time, which was also my first and was really good to see what that's all about. And very excited for the tentative agreement. Hopefully that goes through. I also, outside of the regular committed meetings, attended the Understanding Human Rights webinar that was offered by the NSMFM last week, which was very interesting. And last weekend, Penny and I both attended the Pride Walk, which had a really great attendance, as well as the Black Loyalist Seafarers exhibit opening, which was really very well done as well.
Yeah. Thank you for that. A number of the items or meetings that I was going to mention has already been mentioned by Councillor Shan and Deputy Warden. Councillor Richardson.
Not directly one of our committees, just an update on our community garden and food share. The greenhouse has been coming well. We have purchased a building, an auxiliary building to house refrigeration. We've already started harvesting. We had the first sale this last Sunday at the market downtown, and we had 30 bags of lettuce that were available. And actually, we've gone over 60 bags of lettuce been harvested so far. So there's a lot of plants coming on, but if anybody has any free money in their accounts, letters out there looking at the donations. So thank you.
And I believe at the Welcome Neighbors event on the 30th, I think there were 23 bags of lettuce there to give away. So we've all been pretty busy with it. And it's looking wonderful in there. We've got tomato plants with all kinds of the cherry tomatoes. And we've got the peas growing and carrots and cucumber and peppers. Yeah, it's fabulous. It's really great. So as I said, a number of the items or events and meetings I was going to mention have already been mentioned, but on May 30th, that was a very busy day for everyone. I think there were like a half a dozen events happening. So so Councillor Shand has already mentioned about the Pride Walk that we attended together that morning at our house. And I gave remarks on behalf of the municipality. And then at 1 o'clock at the Black Loyalist Heritage Center was the African Nova Scotian Seafaring Project. And I stayed until 1:45, and thankfully Councillor Shand was able to stay the whole time, and she gave my remarks on behalf of the municipality. So thank you very much for that, Councillor. And I headed to Shelburne Regional High School to MC the Welcome Neighbors event that was happening at 2. So very busy day for sure. But again, and I think I mentioned this at the last council meeting, all extremely important events in their own way, in their own for their own reasons. So yeah, and I think there may have been a one or two suppers happening that afternoon or that evening as well. June 1st was the community Nova Scotia Health and group meeting, and the NSH update has been posted, I believe, on both our Facebook and website. June 3rd, again, Deputy Warden mentioned that, the Amalgamation Steering Committee meeting, and Chris McNeil, I agreed, did a really great presentation. I think everyone who was there and participated really got something out of the discussion. And he also left with us, and he went through with us the 17 lessons from 4 plus amalgamations and dissolutions. So I believe Nicole may have a copy of this. So if anyone is interested in that, and it may already be on our website, I'm not sure, but really interesting information in this. Sorry. Okay. So yes. Thank you. Excuse me, Deputy Warden. We are going to hold the next amalgamation steering meeting on, I believe it's the second Tuesday of the month?
Yeah,
I believe it's July 7th in Lockport. Excuse me, there were residents in that area who had requested that, I believe, and I think that's a great opportunity to be present there. And hopefully there'll be lots of residents who come out for that meeting. Yes, at 6 o'clock. And I don't know that the venue has been decided yet. So yeah, so there'll be a post on that. Again, Councillor Shand and Deputy Warden has already mentioned the Roseway Manor board meeting in Lockport on June 4th. And I echo the relief and happiness to know that there is a tentative agreement. I don't know that we've heard anything else since the last weekend on this. And this evening, the Shelburne Area Chamber of Commerce is holding its AGM, and they have a special guest speaker there. And I believe he's speaking about community partners and creating new revenue generating and sustainable local experiences, I believe is what I read for travelers. So really the experiential tourism, I believe, is really what it's all about. I'm not sure if there was a member of our staff who was planning to attend that, but I'm sure it will be well attended. Okay, we can now, let's see here. It is 6:50 p.m. If we can have a motion, please, to go in camera at this time.
I'll move it.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Thank you very much. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Okay, if we can have a motion to go out of in camera at 7:20, please.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
Seconded.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. And it's 7:21 p.m. and we will adjourn our meeting for the evening. Thank you, everyone.